So I was leading junior cell this morning upstairs, and they were very kind to me, and they contributed well to what we were doing and to our discussion. Thank you. But for the past couple of weeks, the young people up in junior cell have been looking and thinking about evangelism, of sharing the good news of Jesus, and how we go about it. It reminded me of a story that my friend Annette shared with me in an email. Sitting on Euston Station last night, waiting for my train, I witnessed a beautiful encounter. A young girl approached a Nigerian woman who was sat waiting next to me and whispered something in her ear, which made her smile. The young woman then proceeded to gently sell her some slimming aid she had in her bag. The Nigerian lady laughed and said, "You'd have to come home with me to France so you could keep me supplied. And anyway, I have Jesus and he helps me with all sorts of things, including my weight. Jesus is the answer. Let him help you." The next thing I know, she carries on saying, the next thing I know, she's praying with this young girl who eventually gets up from crouching down to this woman with a huge, incredulous smile on her face and says, "Thank you," and kisses a Nigerian lady and goes on her way. "But there's more," she writes. "The well-dressed businesswoman, the businessman next to me, turns to me and says, 'Well, that's a turnaround.' So I said, 'Well, Jesus is the answer, and he does turn lives around.' And a few moments later, we commenced an hour-long conversation about the Salvation Army, our world, and our part in it, only to find we just live just miles apart, just a few miles apart. What an encounter. The story, and as I was preparing for junior cell, reminded me again about the responsibility I have to reach out to people I encounter every day who don't know the good news about Jesus. And it made me think about how often I might miss the opportunity to reach out to them when I encounter them. And it challenged me, and it made me feel perhaps a little bit ashamed. Would I have responded like that Nigerian lady? Would I have responded to the businessman like Annette did? How would you have responded? Reaching out to the lost, being intentional about sharing the good news of Jesus, has to be integral to who we are as Christians. It's not good enough for us to just come here and worship on a Sunday, as important that as that is. It's not good enough for us to just spend some time in daily devotions, as important as that is. Jesus came to show us how to live. It's not good enough if we don't follow his example and follow his instructions in how we live our lives. It's not good enough to do the bits we like or feel less nervous or embarrassed about. In his time on earth, Jesus reached out time and time again to the lost, and the last words that he said before leaving earth was, "Go make disciples. Go make disciples. Go reach out to the lost." And if we're not doing that, then I have to ask, well, what are we really doing to build God's kingdom? And what is the point of it all? So in studying this encounter that Jesus had with Zacchaeus this evening, I want to share with you some reasons why we need to reach the lost. It's not anything new, but it's good to be reminded of these things every now and again. So here's the first reason. People are hurting and incomplete inside without Christ. Jericho was one of the greatest taxation centers in Palestine. Zacchaeus was a man who had reached the top of his profession, but he was the most hated man in the district. He was wealthy, but he was unhappy. Inevitably, he was lonely, for he had chosen a way that made him an outcast. He had heard of this Jesus who welcomed tax collectors and sinners, and he wondered if he would have a word with him. Despised and hated by men, Zacchaeus was reaching after the love of God. Zacchaeus was like many other people around us, smiling on the outside, but hurting and crying on the inside. All the wealth, power, and luxury could not mend the broken heart caused by rejection and inadequacy. He might have been a successful businessman, but still the people ridiculed him for being a short man. He might have been a rich man, but still people hated him and cursed him, ridiculed him, and even branded him a sinner and outcast due to the nature of his job. He might have been influential and had many servants who obeyed him because of his position and money, but yet his heart was hungry for the real and genuine love and affection of his fellow human being. He might have had all the luxury that the world could offer, but he was still empty, lonely, insecure, and miserable. He was hurting and incomplete, and the only person who could fix that was Jesus. And there are many people like that in our world, aren't there? Who seem to have everything, but yet it's just not enough. Here's the second reason. People cannot reach out to God by their own efforts. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus and would let nothing stop him. For Zacchaeus to mingle with the crowd at all was a courageous thing to do. For many, a man would have taken the chance to nudge or kick or thump him, just this little horrible tax collector. It was an opportunity not to be missed in the busyness of that crowd. Zacchaeus would have been black and blue with bruises that day. He could not see, and the crowd probably took ill delight in making sure of that. So he ran on ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. Things were not easy for Zacchaeus, but the little man had the courage of desperation. The action of Zacchaeus is a picture of the human effort to reach God. Zacchaeus needed some help, and he found it in that tree. The sycamore tree is a type of human way to reach out to God. But being short and inadequate, human effort cannot reach God's standard to find the way back to him. Only the tree of Jesus, which is the cross, can bridge the gap between God and man. The connection that has been lost by sin has been reconnected through Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. We need to be the people that to help the lost understand and to introduce them to Jesus. You and I need to be part of the effort when people reach out to God. Third reason, Jesus loves lost people and wants them to be saved. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus is looking for the lost. He wants to enter into every person's heart and live and dine with them. The kind of compassion for the lost should be at the heart of every believer of Christ. Someone once said that apparently millions of surveys which have been taken around the world indicate that approximately 98% of Christians do not regularly introduce others to the Savior. With so few believers actively sharing their faith, we must get back to the heart of Christ's mission and passion so that the church can be the voice of truth to those who are lost. God makes it clear through Scripture in 1 Timothy that he wants all people to be saved and to learn the truth. We need to love the lost and want them to be saved, just like Jesus did. Here's the next reason. Happiness, joy, and satisfaction can only come to a person once he or she has found the Lord. Humans' endless pursuit for real happiness and satisfaction can only come to an end when they find Christ. There's a vacuum and emptiness in the heart of every person until Christ comes into their lives. Only Jesus can quench our spiritual hunger and thirst. Zacchaeus found Christ and consequently found the happiness, satisfaction, and joy that were missing. The happiness that he failed to acquire through money, he found them in free in Christ. The love that he could not buy through riches, he found unconditionally in Christ. The acceptance that he could not get through his success, he found it readily in Christ. The forgiveness that he could not get through his any alms and work of charity, he found in Christ. The salvation he could not find in any religion, he found in Christ. What is it that Paul says in his letter to Philippians 4? I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. True contentment is only found in knowing Jesus. Next reason. God doesn't care how much sin a person has committed. He will accept them unconditionally if they come to him. The crowds weren't too pleased with Jesus' choice of newfound friend. Zacchaeus was the most despised man in Jericho, a crook. He worked for the Roman government, collecting their taxes, and Zacchaeus would pad the tax for his own personal benefit. If there was an immoral skunk in town, Zacchaeus was the man. And he was untouchable because he was protected by Roman government, by the Roman government. What a poor choice Jesus made. The crowd of religious people completely misunderstood the mission of Christ to the world. They thought that Jesus came for the good of people, to save them. It's the very reason why they condemned the compassion of Christ when he decided to be the guest of a sinner like Zacchaeus. However, the acceptance of Zacchaeus means there are no worse sinners than God cannot forgive and accept if only they will repent. There is no sin so dirty and dark that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. There is no place so far that we can travel away from God that he cannot reach us by his hand for us to come back. There is no person so bad that God cannot change their life. There is no heart so hard that God cannot melt and humble them to obey Christ. There is no impossible and complicated situation in our lives that God cannot untangle to correct our lives for God. Here's a penultimate reason. There is potential of goodness in every person's life if only they'll find Christ. Zacchaeus took steps to show all the community that he was a changed man. When Jesus announced that he would stay that day at his house, and when he discovered he had found a new and wonderful friend, immediately Zacchaeus took the decision. He decided to give half of his goods to the poor. The other half he didn't intend to keep but to use to make restitution for the frauds of which he had confessed to. To the amazement of everyone, Zacchaeus came out of the front door by himself and addressed the large crowd. He apologized to them and offered back more than he had taken as recompense. I can almost hear the jaws of the crowd hitting the ground in shock, can't you? Their cynical selves couldn't believe it. According to Jewish Old Testament law, in his restitution, he went far beyond what was legally necessary. Yet Zacchaeus was determined to do far more than the law demanded. He showed by his deeds that he was a changed man. That's what happens when we come to know Jesus. Everyone needs to have that chance to show that goodness. And finally, here's the final reason. Finding the lost is the very heart of the mission of Christ and every believer of God. The story ends with the great words, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." We must be careful how we take the meaning of the word lost. In the New Testament, it doesn't mean doomed for eternity. It simply means in the wrong place. A thing is lost when it's got out of its own place into the wrong place. And when we find such a thing, we return it to the place it ought to occupy. A person is lost when they've wandered away from God, and they're found when once again they take their rightful place as an obedient child in the household and the family of their Father. That is our goal as believers, to help the lost find their way into the kingdom. Isn't it? So thus ends a lovely story in the Bible about a short little man who climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. But in it we find that our little man, Zacchaeus, was transformed from greedy to generous, from selfish to selfless, a thieving heart to a thanksgiving heart, loneliness to excitement and joy, rejection to acceptance. Jesus changed Zacchaeus' identity. He was once branded as chief of sinners, but now he was identified as the son of Abraham, the receiver of blessing and grace from God. For Zacchaeus, Jesus was the answer. Today, we've been reminded of the change in our own lives when Jesus finds us and gives us a new life in him. Sharing this good news is integral to who we are as Christians, to save souls, grow saints, and serve suffering humanity. Oh Lord, give us the confidence to share you to those we encounter today who are looking for the answer to their incomplete lives. And I guess I just want to ask We want you to ask yourselves, myself, and God in this, in a time of reflection just now, how has my soul saving been? Have I missed the opportunity to save souls, to reach out to the lost? And our response today is perhaps to rededicate ourselves anew to seeking and saving the lost, to say, here am I, my Lord, send me, make me available, put me in the places where you want me to be to help save the lost, to reach the lost and build your kingdom here on earth. And that's what God's mission was in sending Jesus. That's what Jesus' mission was. And as his followers, it has to be our mission. And so we're going to just sing this little song. This is a songster song, but we all know it. Most of us know it anyway. That says these words, these beautiful words. See how the world groans beneath sin spell. Lord, who will go? Someone must care for them. You and I must care for them and tell them, tell of Christ, tell of his power to set men free. And in the third verse, it says, make me a servant to serve just you. Lord, I'll obey. Use me, oh, pray. Teach me to speak. May my life ring true, all my words and all my actions pleasing you. Take this time just to reflect and respond. How has your soul saving been? How many people have you intentionally spoken to about the good news of Jesus? And maybe ask in your prayers now that the Lord would make us more intentional as we just sing this song. We're going to sing the first and last verse. Thank you, Leslie. Together. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you have done in our lives. We are grateful for your saving grace that can change the coldest, darkest heart. We are grateful that you want to be in relationship with everyone, no matter what they've done and where they've been. Lord, thank you for the reminder today of the change that you have brought about in our lives. Help us to remember the joy of our salvation so that we might never lose sight of the power to change people, and for your wonderful gift of grace and mercy to us. We are grateful that you come to seek and save lost souls, and that you still want lost souls to be found in relationship with you. We are humbled and privileged that you want to work through us to help save the lost. And this evening, as we've considered the importance of doing this, we ask that your Spirit would anoint us with confidence, power, and authority to speak out on behalf of you to those we encounter, so that in doing so, they may encounter you and be changed. We ask this through your Son, Jesus, who by his actions enabled us to live a full and rich life, direct relationship with you. Amen. Amen.